Our message this morning is going to be a little bit different, but I got the message from the sign out front. And Avon was going to change it this morning, put a new one. I said, wait, Avon, don't do it till after the service, because that's the inspiration for my message this morning. God has ordained praise from the smallest child. Now, I want to go into that in a minute, but I want to start with a little story as a beginning. There was a bar, a liquor store that was right near a church in a large city. And there was a parrot in there, and every evening the parrot, the people would come up and try to get the parrot to say something. Say, Polly want a cracker and all this stuff. And the parrot would get tired of it and fly up and roost itself in the chandelier. Well, one Saturday evening it got so much he flew out the window, went to the next door, which was the church. He flew into the belfry there. It was open. He flew into the middle of the sanctuary and found a perch there and went to sleep. The next morning was church, Sunday morning. And he looked up from his perch, and the pastor came in and he said, here's a new bartender. The choir came in and he said, ooh, new chorus girls. Then he looked down and the people were coming in and he said, nope, same old crowd. I think sometimes we become the same old crowd. And God does not want us to be the same people we were even 6 months ago. God wants us to constantly be changing, transforming. If you are the same as you were a year ago, then you're not letting God lead you, because I'm convinced that God is constantly doing things to transform us. Some of the things we don't like are going on in our lives, but it's transformational. Now, I want to say this. This past week, a week ago, I had my six-year-old grandson starting first grade this year. And I had him for a week. Now, when a grandfather has his grandson for a week, he's going, I'm going to get a lot packed in this week. I get him 1 week a year. So I took him. We did a lot of things. He was in ball camp and here, and we did some other things, and we had a great time. But one of the things that happened, and he looked at me and he said, wow, that's amazing. I can't remember what it was, but I turned to him and I said, there's some lessons in that. I want to tell you the lessons. He said, God has taught us that in every event in our life, there's a lesson. What do you think the lessons are? He looked at me and he said, this isn't church, Pop. I said, excuse me, this is church. And he said, what? I said, wherever I go is church. If you're a Christian, wherever you go, it's church. Wherever you go, I'm going to talk about God. Pop will talk about God because I am the church. And he just sort of looked at me like I was a little strange. So I went ahead and gave him my points about what I thought was the meaning of what we had just been through. I believe that too many times we are try to be the church on Sunday and different people out in the world, but God wants us to be the same people, and he wants this church to be the church wherever we go. And we need to, when we come together, understand and learn the new insights of how we should live as a church. I've got one this morning that I'm going to be talking about. It's the title of my message, which is Praise Opens the Windows to Heaven. And it's not just talking about Sunday morning praise. So I want to look with me, if you would, to Psalm 150, 1 through 6. And Psalm 150, 1 through 6. We're going to be looking at this a little bit. Praise the Lord. By the way, I'm reading from the New International. I'm not sure that's, I believe, the King James. But anyway, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for the acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre, which we've done this morning. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dancing, which we need to do. Praise Him with the strings and the pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding loud cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You notice this is the last chapter of the book of Psalms. This is a what do you usually put in the last chapter of a book? Culmination of the whole book. Sometimes it's an epilogue, but you put the culmination, you try to put it together sort of as the closing. This is what David was doing. This is what he was about. This is what he says we need to be about. This is what we need to do. Now, I want to get, it's easy to say, well, yeah, we praise the Lord at our church. Oh, do we? I want to tell you what praising is by definition. It's, and I did a lot of investigation. I read three different books on this week, parts of it anyway, and I did some investigation, even online investigation, but I contacted a couple of professors through some online, and they gave me their definition. Let me just give you a synopsis of that definition. Praise is, by definition, active, assertive, demonstrative, and open. Praise is not passive, presumptuous, secretive, or meditative. Psalms 47:1 says praise is listed as clapping. Psalm 63:3, psalms is singing or speaking vocally. Psalm 66:1 is shouting. Praise is shouting. Psalms 26:7, psalms says a praise is with a loud voice. Psalms 151 through 6 says, with every type of instrument you have. Basically, David looked at every instrument they had in the house and everybody, thing he knew anything about it. He says, praise Him, the Lord, with all of this. We tried to do that this morning. We praised with the three different instruments this morning. We praised Him actually with four different instruments this morning. You're clapping. Bet you didn't know it. That's worship. Bet you didn't know it. Clapping and singing and playing instruments is praise to God. Now, David went a bit further. We hadn't quite got there today, but David danced in the streets. I preached on that two Sundays ago. But praise is extremely important. Praise is a visible public worship. Psalm 63:4 says, lift your hands in praise and worship. 149:3, dancing was also visible in worship. 60 times in the Bible, praise is referred to as kneeling prostrate before the Lord. Have you ever had someone that tried to teach you we ought to kneel and pray? Or were they just being old-fashioned? Or they just being some other religion that we're not used to? I'll never forget one of the most moving times that I was had here in this worship was one Sunday when I stood and I had a new couple, and actually there was four of them, two children and a husband and wife from India who were here sitting right there. And when I got to the prayer time and I began to pray, they knelt down right there on the floor. Did they look around to see if anybody else was doing it? Did they say, is this what y'all do at this church? They did it because this is what they understood to be praise to the Lord. And by the way, it affected me because of this. It was a sacrifice of praise. And I'm going to talk about what a sacrifice of praise is, because a sacrifice of praise is truly the praise that honors God and God responds to. If there's no sacrifice in the praise, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We should be praising the Lord every day for the things he has done. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but praise God. I look at what he's done for me in the past months and in the past year. I am amazed. I would not be here if it had not been the hand of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else had anything happen? Well, maybe I'm the only one. But I believe God is in the business of doing great miracles. And he has done it in my life over and over again. He has touched my life. He has moved in my life. He has created greatness. And it's not because of me. It's because of him. And I just can't begin to praise him enough. So we should praise God because of what he's done. And if you sit there and say, well, I don't know what God's done in my life lately. Did you put your shoes on this morning? Did you get up? Praise ye the Lord. You're not dead. You're alive. Amen. Because he is worthy. Psalm 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let me read that again. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So the next reason we call on God and praise him is because he's worthy. You do not just praise God because he's done everything for you. You praise him because he's worthy. And you don't wait till he's worthy. He's already worthy. So when do we praise him? Now. Do you need to have everything in order? Do you need to have all the healing in place? No, we praise him because he is worthy. The next thing, because in Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of his people. You are holy. The Lord is holy. Because he's holy, we should be praising him. The next one, we praise him for his mighty acts. And the last one that I've got in this section is, we praise him for his greatness. Psalm 152, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Did you know this earth was born in praise of God? Did you know that the very creation of the universe is in praise to God? Did you know from the very foundations of the earth, from the very beginning, first day of creation, it was founded in praise of God? Do you remember what Job said in Job, what God said to Job in 38, 2 through 7? Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for if I demand of thee and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?
declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are foundations thereupon fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning star sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Notice that. This was all done. The beginning, the foundation of the earth was done when the morning star began to sing and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And all they shouted for joy. When? When creation was... Listen, when God created the universe, there was shouts of joy all over the universe. Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, I hope we don't get to the point in this church to where the pews start to have to shout praises to God, because we won't. But that's what the Bible said. If the people won't, the rocks will cry out. Why? Because from the foundation, that's the point. That's what we're about. Now, we praise because God is worthy to be praised. Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, I've had people look at me and go, wait a minute, I thought we were Christians. And Christians already have the Holy Spirit in their life, right? So we don't need to praise, because if we praise, we already got God. We don't need to praise. I don't think you understand this. I don't think you understand what he means here. How many of you have windows in your house? Have you ever looked at a house that did not have windows or had few windows? Did you buy that house? No. Most people want windows in their house. Why? Not just because it looks like a compound. It's to let the light in. As a matter of fact, I like the big, huge windows that almost go from the floor to the ceiling. I love those. Windows used to be used to open and let in the breezes. But we don't do that anymore. We paint them shut and we can't even open them anymore. Windows are for light, but also windows let us see what's outside. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, the architect and the one who can build windows in our house, in our spiritual house, doesn't mean he's done anything lately with that. What opens windows for the light of God to shine through? It is the Holy Spirit, but it is our praise. Whenever we praise God, it says he inhabits the praise. So what opens the windows in our life? Praise. Do you want to know what? I'm going to get going here, and when I do, I hope you all forgive me. Praise in church is not because somebody orchestrates it or leads it like a cheerleader. It's because it's in our hearts and we can't help but bring it out.
Amen.
And if you can't bring it out, it ain't there.
Amen.
Never was there. Or else, the Holy Spirit's come into your life and you said, I don't want any windows. I like it like it is. I don't want to see any more truth. I don't want any more. There was an old song. Do you remember the song Heavenly Sunlight? When I was a child. Let's see if I can get that. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. I believe heavenly sunlight comes in through the windows. But if we do not give praise, there won't be any windows. Because praise is the place where windows are built in our life so that the sunshine can come through. Praise and worship is the answer. Praise is the habitation of God. Praise is the presence of God. Now, I want to say this. I believe that some people, we had some great music this morning. We had great choruses. We had wonderful music. And I've sat with people who've looked at that and said, why don't we just get to the preaching? Whoa, you're missing the point. If you miss the praise and worship, you have missed worship. The praise and worship is what it's all about. Because the praise and the moments of praise within a worship service is when God opens the windows of heaven with light. And all I do as a pastor with sermons is mop up. The work's already been done in your hearts. And if you come into a worship service and you don't feel like God is just flooding your soul with light, praise Him anyway, and the light will come. We don't have praise and worship because it's in the scriptures and we're just supposed to do it, although that's one of the reasons. We do it because praise opens the windows of heaven. Psalm 104 says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, how do you enter into the courts of the Lord? How do you enter? Through praise. How do you enter the presence of God? Through praise. If we don't have praise at the beginning of our service, we haven't even entered worship. We haven't. And let me say this. How did the Lord teach us how to pray? What does the Lord pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how you saw it. Jesus told us that. How about if we just decided, well, I'll just begin with give me that daily bread, Lord, and just pour out your blessings on me today, Lord. Is that where he wants us to start? No, because when we praise him, then the doors are open. And I personally believe if you miss the praise and worship in a service, you won't get the message. It's missed. It's already gone. The praise and worship and the praise that you have personally is where God opens the windows. It says, enter his court with praise. Now, a lot of people may think that means, oh, well, every time I come to God, I enter with praise. No, it means this. When you praise him, you open the doors for him to enter you, for him to come to you. Enter his courts with praise. You want to see his acts in your life? You want to see his miracles work in you? You want to see his power in you? You want to see the darkness that's around you cast in light? We've seen darkness this week. We saw darkness yesterday. When you want to see the light come, then praise the Lord. I will never forget what the lieutenant governor of Texas said. It just was a miraculous thing. I'm sitting there listening going, wow, this preacher, who is this preacher? And he found out it's the lieutenant governor of Texas who said this. Yes, there's darkness, but there's light. And his name is Jesus. This is the lieutenant governor who was not afraid to shame to praise God in a national radio address. They ask him a bunch of other questions, but that's how he began. I want you to know something. Praise is where we begin. In his presence, we see healing. deliverance from a spirit of sin, from a spirit of heaviness, from a spirit of despair, from a spirit of fear, from a spirit of doom, from the weakness of faith, from the sickness of mind and soul. In the Spirit of God, as He opens the windows to heaven, we find healing, but it comes through praise. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, you remember Jesus read that? He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He, the Lord, hath anointed me to preach the good news to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Listen, we are called to praise Him and glorify Him. And in the praise and the glorifying of Him comes all of this that we just read, the healing, the strength, the anointing, the strength, the casting of darkness aside. I don't know about you, but I need it today. We live in a dark age. I'm sorry, I will declare it today. We live in a dark age. And we need the light to shine. But the light will not shine as long as the people of God do not praise Him. Because we're too dignified. Or somebody might say something to us. Somebody might think I'm odd. Psalm 47, 1 through 4. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved, Selah. As we shout, He brings our enemies under our feet. As we praise Him, He brings our enemies under our feet. Any of you got any enemies? Any of you have anybody that comes against you? You don't consider them enemies. They just are agonizing. And you just like to say, Lord, will you move this person on? Because I don't like dealing with them every day. Have you ever been there? The scripture says, as I praise Him and glorify Him, it brings all my enemies under my feet. You want to start seeing your people that challenge you and bring darkness against you, start praising God and you watch what God does. It's uncomfortable sometimes. This week I drove a little bit of Uber. And when I drove Uber, I picked up this girl. And she was lamenting her travels from Kansas City to here, and she was telling me how terrible and how big a struggle, but yet she was looking forward to it because she was going to try to go to school here, but she couldn't get in UNC, and she went on and on, and she said, I'm trying to find a good job. I was taking her to Whole Foods to let her go to job, and when she was getting out, I said, I want to tell you something. She said, what? I want to pray for you. And she just looked at me. And I said, because God can do great things. She turned around as she got out of the car. She turned around and looked at me, and she, with tears in her eyes, she said, that's what Mama says. She said, you affirmed what Mama says. Now, I wasn't in a Christian-oriented place. I wasn't in church. I was in Uber. Well, I don't even know the people. God has called us to praise Him everywhere. And we will bring the darkness down and the light will come up and great things will happen in your life. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. What is it that delivered the Israelites from the hand of the mighty ruler Pharaoh when they were under in bondage? What was it that delivered them? Do you know? It was that night when they obediently sat there and worshiped God and sang praises to God as they ate the Paschal lamb, that the death angel came through and eliminated the threat of the Egyptians and they were delivered. What was it that delivered Jonah in the belly of the whale? Do you remember? He began to sing praises to God. And the moment he began to sing praises to God, the whale spit him up onto shore. What happened to Paul and Silas in jail when they were in jail? How were they delivered? Singing praises to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I want all of you to listen. That was probably some sorry singing. Do you think Paul and Silas were great musicians? No. Do you think their voices were beautiful? No. They didn't care. They sang anyway, and it was probably annoying, their singing, because it was so off tune. But God doesn't call us to be on tune. He calls us to sing, to praise Him. This is commanded. If you do, He begins to open up windows in your life and windows in your heart, and He pours in light, and He not only pours in light, He pours in beauty. Hear me. What happened with Silas and Paul in jail can happen to you. He can shake the foundations and can crumble the walls, and everything around you can fall. Do you remember what the children of Israel did at Jericho? Did they go in and do a great, mighty military work? No, they walked around the walls for 7 days and praised God. 7 days of praise brought those walls down. Now I want to share with you in closing this. Look with me in Psalm 54:6. Psalm 54:6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Now I want you to notice two words in there, and we're going to look at those in closing. Sacrifice and freely. They're together, freely sacrifice. I want us to look at the word freely first. There is absolutely no way you should be goaded or prodded or cheerled to praise God in a worship service. The praise just should be coming out of everybody. If you go out and you come into a worship service and you go out and your mouth hadn't opened, I don't think you understood what it's all about, because praise is always audible, always, it's heard. Look it up if you don't believe me. There is no way we need a cheerleader. It should be so abundant in us, it flows. And whenever I look at my grandchildren, let me tell you something. I look at my grandchildren, and when I'm with my grandchildren, the praise of God just flows out of me. I look at my grandchildren, and I go, man, how in the world could I be so blessed? Charlotte is a miracle. I don't know if you remember, you prayed for Charlotte to come. She came. They said she couldn't have a baby. She had one. Praise God. Amen. That's God. And if I don't shut my mouth, the rocks in my yard are going to start shouting. Freely, freely, freely. Nobody should be begging you. Nobody should be asking you. You shouldn't feel like, oh God, the pastor's asking me to do that, or the people around me are asking. No. Freely, 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 freely. And then, second, it should be a sacrifice. Our praise should be a sacrifice to the Lord. Nothing that is comfortable is a sacrifice. What is comfortable? What I've always done.
where I grew up, the way I grew up. That's comfortable. I started the service by saying we need to change. One of the things we need to change, I need to change. I realized I needed to change when I looked in the face of my granddaughter, and she was a miracle. She went sliding down the slide into the pool yesterday, and they said she would never be, and now I see her sliding down into a pool at 4 years of age. And I'm sitting there going, how can I not praise you, Lord, in the middle of a pagan crowd, in the middle of a restaurant? How can I not praise you? What is in me that keeps me from praising you? Pride and arrogance and comfortableness. A sacrifice of praise is always doing what makes me uncomfortable. Now, I remember the first time I lifted my hands in praise. And I know people say, well, that's just show. People are just doing show. No, I'm being obedient. 21 times it says in the Bible you're to lift your hands in praise. 21 times. Well, I don't do that. That's just not me. Good. Then do it as a sacrifice. But that's, you need to do it freely. A sacrifice is when it's uncomfortable, when it's out of your comfort zone. It is out of your tradition. It is out of the normal way you do things. It is absolutely not you. When you start doing things that are absolutely not you, then you are sacrificing. Have you ever done something that you go, your husband or your wife looks at you and says, you've never done that before. And it was a good thing. One day I pulled up and pulled out my wallet. There was a man standing on the side of the road, and I gave him some money, and he said, he was a street person, and he said, thank you. And I said, it came from God. Praise him. Don't praise me. Praise God. And I drove off, and my wife looked at me. She says, you've never done that before. I said, I know. I just felt like God wanted me to do it now. Some would say, but to be audible in my prayer is not me. And I'd say to you, excuse me, that's not the point. Praise is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice also to praise God when you have someone in your family who's hurting. Or you have someone in your family who has died. Or someone in your family who is tragically ill. It is hard to praise God. It takes a sacrifice to praise God in those days. And that is when God is honored and glorified the most. When it is a true sacrifice of praise. That's just where you're communing with God. Praise is audible. Always has been. It can be through clapping. Can be through singing. It can be through a lot of different ways. But it needs to be audible. Do you know, I praise the Lord at home, and people, you know, I used to be this way. I would go upstairs in my upper room, and I would praise God quietly to myself. And God convicted me, because the more I read in Scripture, it's audible. So I go upstairs and I praise God out loud. And my wife said, you're praying. I said, yeah. My grandson says, oh, Pop's praising God. I'm going to go downstairs. He's having church, and he goes downstairs. There is something that happens to me when I praise God visibly
audibly, not as a show, but as a sacrifice freely given to the Lord. My encouragement to you right now, what is God calling you to do? Some of our houses have one or two windows in it. Some of our houses are full of windows. My desire, you know, I went to see my granddad. I'm closing this. I went to see my granddad. Loved to go see him. He went into the old mountain house set up on the mountain. And he took that mountain house and put windows all the way around. And my grandmother got upset because she said, "We're up here in the mountains. It's cold up here. We have nothing but windows all the way around the house." He said, "I want to see everything God made. And I want light."